welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike. I guess we're going to talk about headache today.
We are going to talk about headache today. Haven't talked about it in a while. We're going to talk specifically about migraine headaches, common disorder. 1 year prevalence estimates are about 17% in females, about half that in males. Treatment is important. We won't talk about that today. But prevention is also very important, particularly for people who have frequent or long-lasting migraines, migraine attacks that cause significant disability or diminished quality of life, acute therapies so that you want to prevent them, risks of medication overuse, and perhaps menstrual migraines, suggesting that they happen regularly at predictable times. I'm a big fan of headache diaries to help me estimate the number and severity of headaches each month. And then when it comes time to prevention, there's a bunch of medications that have been shown to be helpful, but there are also non-medication approaches to migraine that include lifestyle, things like a good sleep hygiene and routine meals and regular exercise, and even managing migraine triggers if you can identify them. Also, acupuncture and exercise and biofeedback and relaxation therapies and CBT, and the list goes on and on. You found a journal article that is, I think, very helpful. It was published in the journal Pediatrics, and it was published in an electronic form, but it was published this year, 2021. It attempts to answer the question, are non-pharmacologic treatments effective in decreasing migraine frequency in children and adolescents? So that one age group, do any of these non-farm approaches help prevent migraines?
Yeah, short answer is yes. And you know, certainly this is a group of patients where we want to avoid medicalizing them too much or getting them used to taking a pill for everything. Migraine is not an unserious disorder, it can certainly impact function a lot. So it's good to have some alternatives. They did a good search of 4 databases, including the Cochrane Central Register of Clinical Trials. There were 5 co-authors that picked studies, and 2 of them evaluated the studies for risk of bias. They found 12 randomized control studies with just about 600 children and adolescents who got at least one non-pharmacological treatment for the prevention of migraine, and they included migraine with or without aura. Most of the studies were relatively small, most were fairly short duration, and they had a moderate risk of bias. So they did network meta-analysis as well as direct comparison of the interventions. Compared with no treatment, which is being on a waiting list, they found that biofeedback, relaxation therapy, self-administered treatments like written or audio strategies for coping and relaxation, a psychological placebo that was a 1-hour session not specifically aimed at migraine treatment, and other psychological treatments like cognitive behavioral therapy all decreased the number of migraine days, frequency of attacks, or scores on a headache index. And these differences persisted for up to 3 months in the studies. Now, the typical difference, the effect size was small for long-term psychological placebos. It was medium for self-administered treatments. They didn't see any evidence of publication bias, which means that negative trials go unpublished, but it was a relatively small number of studies, so it might be hard to detect. So bottom line, these active non-pharmacological treatments like biofeedback, relaxation techniques, cognitive behavioral therapy might be a good place to start when you're trying to reduce or prevent migraine frequency in kids and adolescents. There's not a lot of research. It's 12 studies with an average of 50 patients in each study, so lots of smaller trials. More study is needed, particularly things like cognitive behavioral therapy, relaxation techniques that are well known to be beneficial in other conditions.
Interesting. I suspect that these treatments are more effective, or at least more easy to deliver in older children and adolescents, just in the sense that you've got to have them sort of participate and understand. My question is, where do we start? I mean, you've listed a bunch of things. Many of us don't have a lot of these services available to us. Any suggestion as to where we would start with non-pharmacologic treatments?
Well, I mean, I think the relaxation therapies and cognitive behavioral therapy is probably where I would go first. And then in biofeedback's a little harder to implement. I'm not sure I would even know how to get someone lined up for that. But certainly for most patients, I would start with cognitive behavioral therapy. It has, again, kind of has the strongest basis in other research for other conditions and has been shown to basically be effective for everything that's been tried, and from PTSD to depression to anxiety disorders.
Great. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you in a week.
Okay.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.